What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
We're going to continue our Hurricane Katrina coverage with Roland Black, who works in community relations at Lower Ninth Ward Center for Sustainable Engagement and Development and does coastal habitat restoration in the Lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Did I get your organization right? Is that what it's called?
Essentially, yes.
Okay, all right. All right.
CSED.
CSED, okay.
Yeah.
What does CSED stand for?
Center for Sustainable Engagement and Development. So, yes.
Okay. All right. You're a native to New Orleans. Are you a native to the Lower Ninth Ward where you do your work?
I'm a native to the Ninth Ward, but not the Lower Ninth Ward. It's two different. It's sectioned off into two different spots. And people like to divide it. So.
Okay. Be patient with me. I'm still learning.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine. Most people, I wouldn't expect anybody else to understand. New Orleans things.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to try to understand some New Orleans things. That's the point of this hour. As a native, I just spent, 20 minutes or so talking to Adam about the legacy of trauma of Hurricane Katrina. And so my first question to you is actually, in what ways has the impact of legacy of Katrina been woven into your life?
For me, it kind of motivated me more to do more coastal restoration work. And I don't think that most people in the city or even in the state understand how important coastal restoration is to our city. A lot of reasons why Hurricane Katrina was so impactful and so damaging, and one of the reasons because of one of the things, it's called the Mystico, which is the Mississippi River Gulf outlet. A lot of water and storm surges, which are essentially big waves, came in through the Mystico. It was essentially originally created to be a shortcut for or a shipping channel for ships back in the 40s and 50s. They had this idea that they were going to build a shortcut because of this influx of cargo ships coming in. So they built this thing called the Mystico, and in the process of doing this, they made us more susceptible to storm damage, winds. It cut down millions of cypress trees, which is one of our natural defense systems. And it also, like I said, opens up for more flooding to come into the area. So a lot of our work, like I said, Katrina kind of motivated me. It kind of, once I understood what was happening or what happened, it motivated us, not only myself, but a lot of the groups that I'm working with to restore a lot of those coastal wetlands that were lost.
Talk about, it's not a matter of if, but rather when another severe hurricane hits New Orleans. You and other folks are doing a lot of really important work, and we're going to talk more about restoration work. What would the impact be if another hurricane hit right now?
I mean, there's always going to be hurricanes. It's going to happen. Like you said, it's when. It's one of the things that I can tell you what we're not doing. We're not better preparing ourselves for those. One of the other reasons why Katrina was so damaging is because we weren't prepared. We didn't prepare as a city. I think there's maybe like an unwritten handbook of preparedness for the city. There's a lot of things that I could give you a scroll. I don't think you have that much time to tell you as to what we could have done better, from moving our transit system to higher ground, maybe doing some reinforcing our levee systems a long time ago. A lot of these things just kind of failed. We probably shouldn't have had a barge sitting in an industrial canal, which then led to the flooding of the Lower Ninth Ward in St. Benoit Parish. So just a few of things that could have greatly changed the whole outlook of Katrina. Because Katrina was essentially, it was just a storm. And a lot of the flooding happened kind of after Katrina. And like I said, the storm was just, it's going to always happen. We could have done more to prepare ourselves to not let that happen. We should have, our government should have told people earlier to evacuate. Our government should have had, like I said, a better safety plan or evacuation plan to get people out of the city. So like I said, a lot of these things just could have went a lot different.
I sit with the levees a lot. I've been talking about Katrina about as long as I've been on the air, ever since someone was foolish enough to give me a platform to uplift issues about Black people. The levee, it was a known factor when Katrina hit that the levees were not going to hold. and there had been talk about repairing the levees. And so after Katrina and all of this death and destruction happened, this AmeriCorps came back in, same folks that built it poorly the first time, and there was all of this reconstruction, making it one of the premier levee systems in the country. But as I'm reading, there are environmental factors that are contributing now to that maybe not being the truth anymore.
As far as us not having a very structurally sound levee system?
Yeah, that the levee system probably would not hold yet again.
It's impossible. It just depends on, and the thing is, just the way that Katrina kind of, the route that Katrina took was, it made it worse. You know, we've had storms. We had dozens of storms in just that route. And this has all happened before. This is, like I said, this is something in the past that we've known for 50 or 60 years that this could probably happen. But I don't know if I could. The community of the city is still sinking. We're sinking at a rapid rate. So it's really kind of tough for me to tell you, yes, we are at the point to where we can say this is a structurally sound. We have nothing to worry about. There's never going to, I could, I, from my opinion, we're never going to be to the point where we have nothing to worry about. Never. It's never going to happen. Someone can lie to you. They can come up with whatever they want to say. It's never going to be that point. It should always be to the point where we're concerned about what surrounds us. The lower Ninth Ward is essentially a peninsula. It's 3/4 of the way surrounded by water. There's the Mississippi River, Industrial Canal, Bayou Bienvenue, and there's always a chance that something could fail easily at any point, not even in the midst of a storm, something could fail. We have a flood protection pumping system that's old as most of my grandparents. You know, some of those pumps are 100 years old. I've toured some of those pumps, and they're very, very old. So this is not like an updated system that we're working with. And it's really sad because we've gotten billions of dollars to the city, and a lot of those things that should have been updated didn't get upgraded.
What happened to the money?
That's probably for another show. Let's not do this.
All right, I mean, this is called Law and Disorder.
Oh, if you want to, I don't know.
I do.
To the money. The lower Ninth Ward got billions of dollars, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, and it should look a lot better. If you ever get a chance to come out here, you'll see. And I'm not saying that I hate the lower Ninth Ward, or I say that it just looks bad. It's just for the amount of money that came through here, there's a lot of questionable things. We don't have a grocery store. We don't have we have maybe one a doctor's office, sort of. We don't have any hospitals. There's no restaurants. There's no gas station. There's nothing improvement. And the reason why is because the money that we should have used to kind of upgrade this area, it didn't work out. And a lot of companies would take it would be a really big chance that they would take to get down here. There's no, you know, the people, the lower Ninth Ward had, I think, maybe 15,000 people before Katrina. I think the last, it's under 5,000 now. So a lot of companies, you know, restaurants wouldn't take the chance to come down here because it's just the money isn't there. And we have so many empty lots, and we're really not making it something that people would want to kind of venture to. We just lost the only high school that we had. So for most of these people that are here, are older, and the younger people who are more mobile can just leave and go somewhere else, because it's a lot. It's safety. It's crime. It's a lot of things that should have been corrected and just weren't.
Talk to me a little bit about storm drain filters in the lower Ninth Ward. What are those, and why are they important?
We don't have any. They are important because there's still flooding in the lower Ninth Ward. We're not focused on cleaning the storm drains that we have. I take groups out, volunteers out all the time, and all of those drains are clogged. If you look at some of the maps, we have an Adopt a Storm Drain program that we've had for the last maybe 2 years, where we get seniors in the area to go out. We've got grant money to pay them to go out to clean some of the storm drains. We've created a storm drain filter program, which the city just denied us to put out. We're going to make storm drains to put on storm drain filters to put on all of the storm drains of the lower Ninth Ward. That was denied. It's really tough to get a lot of programs to go through the city because it's just kind of a mess, in my opinion.
Who lives in the lower Ninth Ward demographically? Folks that look like us?
African Americans.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just want to state the obvious. I just want to state the obvious.
But the thing is, the people that control the city government are African Americans. So it's just like, we could. It's great to point the finger, but it's like, you know, it's us doing it to us. We have city council person that is from here. We have, you know, a lot of these people are from these areas. And it's always, and I always kind of compare it to like a comic book where you have a villain and you're wondering like, who would help him do damage to his own city? And I question that all the time. Like, would, you know, for me, I guess, and that's one of the reasons why I never got into city government is because I couldn't imagine working in the city government and going back to my community and looking people in the eye and say that I'm doing a good job. I wouldn't be able to do that. I would be a liar. So it's just kind of tough for me to understand how we're doing that, how permit offices aren't helping people rebuild homes in the Lower Nine. And we've failed on a lot of avenues. And that's one of the reasons why the Lower Nine looks that way, because people, it's so hard to get a permit and understand the permit process. It's so hard to get a lot of these things done. And people, most people have given up and went to another portion of the city, another area, another parish, another state, another whatever. And they just moved away because it just couldn't, they can't deal with a lot of things in the city. A lot of things are not working properly. My younger brother woke up one day in the midst of the last hurricane. And when the power was out for maybe 3 weeks, because we had a really bad, a power line, that was like a main source. I'm not sure, but power was out for maybe 3 weeks. And he just woke up one day and was like, I'm moving. I can't deal with this. It's just too much dysfunction. And that's what drives people away. The last few years, we lost maybe 30,000 people. Just, and I don't think it's because they just felt like Houston was a better city. They wanted to be here. Like most people that live here, like, love their city. I love my city, but sometimes it gets really tough to want to make sure that you want to, you know, end your life, you know, get your last portion of your life spent here in all of this dysfunction. That's kind of a really tough ask for a lot of people.
But it's what you're doing. You get up every day and you do the work. Why?
I do the work because I, you know, my kids are still here. I still have family here, and I still have this idea that I could be this superhero to the scene. But I think that a lot of me has been lost because it's just a lot of failures, you know, and it's not failures and just like, oh, I want to make some money. It's failures and things that I want to do to better the city. Like, I could go down a list of things that I've done that have been turned down by the city, permits that have been turned down, investors that I've pulled in. I've worked for real estate investors, and a lot of investors are just like, I can't deal with it. All the people that I thought that I met, that I, you know, people that want to do good in the city, they just can't deal with the dysfunction. And it's really too much for most people to even consider doing.
So where do you go from here?
We could keep trying. Hopefully I don't get too drained out. We plant a lot of trees and plant a lot of cypress trees. And like I said, we're replenishing a lot of cypress trees that were lost through just bad decision making and governing and just a lot of bad decisions and storms. So a bulk of our work, from October to, you know, May, is going to be planting trees in the bayous around the Lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans.
Say, well, bad decisions, bad governing, and climate change. Yeah. Say a little bit more about why the planting of trees is a natural defense system.
So the trees, the cypress tree sops, they soak up hundreds of gallons of water every year. They block the city from, definitely block the Lower Ninth Ward from wind damage. More cypress trees means more chance that the storm surges would have a direct impact into the Lower Ninth Ward and New Orleans East areas. And it brings back some of the natural habitat that was lost over the course of however many decades has been kind of losing it.
Are there other things that can be done to the environment, that should be done to the environment, that you're doing to the environment that can help when the next storm hits?
We're building a lot of shorelines. So we've always, not only do we plant trees, but we also work with other groups to build natural shorelines in and around the city of New Orleans. So there's a ton of things that need to be done. And I won't lie to you, there's, you know, some huge projects that have been done and completed. But like I said, I always think that I've heard other people say that, you know, the levees are secure, this is secure, this is great, the bayous look great, but it's really not. So I think there's a lot of things that people, it's always something that's missing that we could probably improve on.
Roland Black, is there anything I haven't asked you that you want the people to know?
No, I think that's... I don't know if we had that much time to really go into my other thoughts of my city, but I still love it. I don't want to make it seem like I just hate the city. I just want people to know that it's brought a lot of things that we could do differently. A lot of stopping the blaming and doing more work. We just seem like we're trying to point the finger at people that have nothing to do with it and try to pretend that one person didn't have any effects on anything because of political reasons.
Well, this platform is available to you if and when you want to tell that story. Roland Black, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.